Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
This wonderful gift that God has given us, the ability to rationalize and make decisions, and sometimes we make wrong decisions, but God has given us and continues to enable us to make not only the right decisions, but godly decisions as well. Let me give you a scenario of what's happening in our home right now, of some not so good decisions that are being made. So my oldest, and he's not in church today because classes start in Roseburg this week, so he's down in Roseburg getting ready to start classes, which is good. But a couple weeks ago, he decided to buy a puppy. Not the best decision, especially when you're going to start taking college classes. Actually, I don't know if he bought it. He says it was a rescue puppy. And when I first saw the puppy, it didn't look like it was in the best of shape. But fortunately, after a couple weeks, puppy is getting healthier. He's a cute little guy. He's named him Duke. But his mother and I still question his decision to bring a puppy, especially with so much going on in his life. But then Caleb made a good decision to ask his little brother to look after the puppy when he's not able to. And that was a good decision because Micah is very good with dogs. And he and Duke have just developed this beautiful relationship and friendship. And so that's a good decision in asking his little brother to take care of Duke. But the other day, Micah informed me, and you know how puppies are, they're still being trained and potty trained and all that sort of thing. Micah informed me, and I don't know if this was the best decision on his part, but he informed me that when he takes the puppy upstairs, he plays with the puppy in Caleb's room. And I said, why do you do that? Why do you take Duke into your brother's room but not your room? And he said, well, you know, Duke is still training, and if he makes a mess, I want it to be in his brother's room and not my room. Good decision or bad decision? Well, it has yet to be determined. So we're just kind of waiting for the puppy business to hit the fan and see what happens based on all this this decision-making that's going on. But God has given us this amazing ability to make decisions, from the smallest decisions to the biggest decisions. We can ask God to guide us and lead us. And the key verse in this whole series that I have really held on to is Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. Now, I'm going to read Jeremiah 6:16 to you again, like I have every Sunday in this series. But I got to share something with you. And this is how cool God's word is. I have been sharing this verse with you for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And when I went back to it again this week, I began to see something that I had missed all these weeks. And I had one of those experiences in Bible study and with God that just gave me chills all up and down my body. I wish I could say that happens every time we go to study the Bible. It doesn't. Bible study is hard work. Getting into God's Word is hard work. And sometimes it's meticulous, sometimes it's boring, sometimes we don't want to do it. But then there are those times when we get into God's Word and something just lights up like we've never seen before, and it resonates with us like we've never experienced before, and a light bulb comes on, or divine heavenly light comes on, and it just so fills you with God that you're in awe. And that happened to me, and I'm going to share what happened to you because I missed it all these weeks in preaching. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. You got a decision to make? Stand. Don't just rush into a hasty decision. Just don't go get a puppy if you can't care for it, you know, stand. Stand. Assess the situation. Look around. Look at it from every possible angle. And then ask for the ancient paths. Or at least ask your mom and dad first before you get a puppy. But ask, consult, what have our ancestors done, right or wrong, when they were facing the same situation? What have others done? It won't hurt you to seek and to consult with others. And ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. And then this is where it hit me, and I've missed it all this time. You will find rest for your souls. Someone else said that. Someone else said those exact words verbatim in the New Testament, and I've missed it. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I can't believe I had missed that perhaps Jesus himself was quoting this same verse and expounding upon it. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29. This is the most beautiful invitation that Jesus extends to everybody. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Now, why are we weary and burdened? Because we make wrong decisions. We're on the wrong path. We're doing things that are contrary to God's way. And when you live contrary to God's way, guess what? You're weary, and you're burdened, and you're worn out, and you're tired. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and get this, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Jesus had Jeremiah 6:16 in mind. So then I went back to Jeremiah 6:16 and I thought to myself, how could I miss this? And I have goosebumps running up and down my body. And then I saw something else. I may be stretching it here, but boy, it sure resonated with me. Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Take away the word roads. And what do you have? Stand at the cross and look at Jesus. Stand at the cross and look at Jesus. You see, whatever we want to say about making godly decisions, it all boils down to Jesus. You want to live a life where you know that you're walking in God's path, go with Jesus. Look to Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Come to Jesus. Be with Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Walk with Jesus. He must be our everything. And that's where we will find rest for our souls. The opposite of rest is unrest. Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 48. And I believe we have another word from God regarding all this. Isaiah 48, beginning at verse 17. This is the prophet Isaiah. Different time period, different situation, but same word from the Lord to his people. Isaiah 48, beginning at verse 17. Remember, we're talking about making godly decisions, right decisions. Verse 17, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God. Get this, who teaches you what is best for you. I think we've all had pretty good teachers in school. I look back at my schooling and I'm grateful for wonderful teachers, learned teachers, who really wanted me to succeed and do well. I think we've all been like that, but they're only human. Even the best teacher you've ever had had flaws. However well-intentioned they were limited in their understanding. What the scriptures here teach us is that the very best, perfect, infallible teacher you will ever have in your life is Almighty God. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you. Get this. Who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. You ever just go to the coast and just gaze at the ocean, how peaceful it is, how serene and wonderful it is? You ever just go to the McKinsey River, the Willamette River, and just watch the stream go by and just the beauty of nature, such a peaceful moment? God says, you walk in my path, you do what I say, you obey my commands, you'll live with this kind of peace in your life. But if you ignore my commands and you stubbornly persist on doing your own thing, you won't have peace like this. Verse 19, your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never be cut off nor destroyed from before me. Verse 20, leave Babylon, flee the Babylonians. So Babylon here represents everything that was unholy and not good for the Israelites. Leave it all. Anything that's not of God, anything that's not good for you, leave Babylon. Leave the Babylonians. Just don't have anything to do with them. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. Verse 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Other translations say, there is no rest for the weary. When we are living in God's will, when we are true disciples of Jesus, and a disciple is one who is constantly learning from the teacher, from the rabbi. When we are obediently walking in his way and in his path, the promise of Scripture is that we will find rest and peace for our souls. Why is there unrest in our world today? And it's been this way forever. But there's a great deal of unrest in our country. And I think we can point back to the fact that it's in large part because we have abandoned our Judeo-Christian heritage. And when you abandon God, there is no peace. There is no rest. Why is there so unrest in our community? Why is it that Lane County has one of the highest drug abuse records per capita in our nation? It's because we live in one of the most unchurched per capita parts of the country. Why is there unrest? Let's bring it down a little bit, in our homes. It's because we've not made the Lord Jesus Christ the cornerstone of our home. All of this points to the fact that we've abandoned Jesus. And yet the invitation from Jesus is, come to me. And there you will find rest for your souls. So let me just share with you a couple of things as a pastor that keep me up at night. Number one is I really ache for people who are not saved. People who don't know the Lord. That keeps me up at night. I ache and I yearn and I stay up at night many times on behalf of people who just don't know the Lord. Because not only do I know that they will spend an eternity away from God, but I also know that they're living in their own turmoil here and now. That here on earth, while we're still alive, when we're not walking with God, life is a mess. And I ache for people who are not walking with God. Beyond that, I stay up at night for people who I know Jesus, but I wonder if they're walking closely with Him. Just because someone comes to church doesn't mean they're necessarily walking with God. And so I hurt and I ache and I pray for people who know the truth, maybe at one time have been with God and accepted Christ into their life, maybe were even baptized. But I wonder if they're really taking their walk with God seriously. That keeps me up at night. You say, well, come on, I believe in Jesus. I go to church once a month. I'm good to go. I'm going to give you three examples from the New Testament, just three, that are pretty clear-cut examples of people who knew Jesus, listened to Jesus, were close to Jesus, and yet they got it wrong, and they missed out. Jesus was literally in front of their face, and they still made bad decisions. First example, turn to Luke chapter 10. And I give you these examples to show you that our walk with Jesus cannot be taken for granted. That yes, even though we come to church, yes, even though you may pray, yes, even though you may read and study the scriptures, we cannot take our walk with Jesus for granted, because even the people who are closest to Jesus can still get it wrong. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. This is the story of Mary and Martha. They were close friends with Jesus. Beginning at verse 38, Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Here's Martha. She literally invited Jesus into her home. He was in her space. And she still did not have peace. How is that so? Because Jesus can be literally in front of our face and we can still miss him and miss the whole purpose of what it means to be in relationship with Jesus. And her intentions were good. We don't want to be too hard on Martha. Her intentions were good. She wanted everything to be just right. But Jesus' intentions were better. And he wanted everything to be right with her. And he pointed her to her very own sister Mary and said, she gets it. She gets it. Martha, you're not getting it, but your sister gets it. Example number one. She had Jesus in her own home and she missed the point. Example number two. Turn to Luke chapter 22. Beginning at verse 1. This is the sad story of Judas. Judas was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. For 3 years, day in and day out, Judas, along with the other 11, walked with Jesus, listened to Jesus, observed Jesus, participated in ministry with Jesus. Surely none of the disciples of Jesus would get it wrong, right? And yet, we're going to read here that even however close he was to Jesus, he still got it wrong. Verse 1, Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Verse 3, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. Ouch. He was one of the 12. Jesus washed his feet. Jesus served him communion. Jesus loved him. And yet he was still looking for a way to betray his rabbi, his teacher. Of course, verse 5, they were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Premeditated betrayal. Judas missed it. Judas blew it. Next example, same chapter, go down to verse 54. This is Peter, the story of Peter disowning Jesus. Now, you can't get closer to Jesus than Judas because Peter was one of the three, inner circle. It was John, James, and Peter. So Jesus had his 12, but then he had his three close confidants. Now, surely one of those three would betray Jesus, right? Surely they would get it. I mean, Jesus poured his life into them. Surely not one of the three would miss it, right? Well, I almost think the story of Peter betraying Jesus is even sadder than Judas betraying Jesus, because of all people, Peter should have gotten it. Verse 54, Luke 22, then seizing him, they led Jesus away into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him, Peter, seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at it and said, this man was with him. Verse 57, he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60, Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Is that a verse of peace? No. When Judas had realized what he'd done and went out and hung himself, is that a picture of peace? We can be so close to Jesus, we think, and still miss it. So that keeps me up at night. Are people who know the truth and still miss it. So yesterday we had a memorial service for Marilyn's sister and Mike's sister, Chris. Beautiful service here in this room. We felt God's presence here, the wonderful memories that were shared. Thank you to those of you who came to support Mike and the rest of the family. We had more people from our church attend the service than people from Chris's church. And that just speaks of your love for Mike and Marilyn. But Chris attended, and I'm not exactly sure the name of the church, but it was an old school Pentecostal style church. Fairly conservative. One of those churches where they call everybody brother and sister, you know, and wonderful people, wonderful people. One of the ladies who came, and I don't remember her name, Sister so-and-so, just a real go-getter. And she shared some beautiful words from Ecclesiastes and prayed, and just very wonderful lady. And she kept calling me brother, and she called Kay sister, and it was just wonderful, wonderful lady. And I guess her ride left and she needed a ride home, and she lives out in the Thurston area and I live out in the Thurston area, so I ended up taking her home. Had a wonderful conversation on the way home, learned a little bit more of her story. She used to be an undercover narcotics agent, which was kind of cool. And I would have never guessed. She's in her 70s now. Sister, I'm trying to remember her name. I don't remember. But that's okay. In their church, you're just brother or sister anyway, so it doesn't matter. But as I dropped her off, she said something to me just yesterday that I haven't heard in years. Not only have I not heard it in years, I haven't said it to somebody in years. And so when she said it to me, I was shocked, pleasantly surprised. Three words that I haven't heard in a long time. But I'm glad she said those words to me, and I'm going to tell you what she said because this is pertinent to what we've been talking about. So I dropped her off in her mobile home, helped her up the stairs, helped carry her two bags up the stairs. She's feeble. She had fallen several years ago and broken her hip. And as I'm walking away back to my car, she said these three words to me. She said, "Go with God." It's been years since somebody said that to me. And it's been years since I've said that to somebody. People used to say that a lot. Go with God. Touched my heart. What was she saying? She was saying, follow God. Stay with God. Walk with God. Because His path is better than any other path you could walk. And so I want to close with you and with this series what Sister So-and-So said to me yesterday. And maybe we can make it a habit as well and bring this phrase back because it's beautiful. As you go about your daily business, go with God.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield. And our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.